Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Joe. I am Ben. So much to get into here in our third and final hour with a focus, Joe, basically on some basketball. NBA Cup action, quarterfinal, knockout round, however you want to quantify it for the in-season competition in the second ever in-season competition in the association. It begins tonight. Two quarterfinal games on this Tuesday, the other two tomorrow on a Wednesday. What is at stake? What the odds are saying for the final eight teams in the 2024 Emirates NBA Cup. And then a great night of college basketball with a doubleheader of action not all that far away from us here in Midtown Manhattan at the world's most famous arena. That would be Madison Square Garden. We'll hear from John Rothstein later on in this third hour as well. Joe, so much to get to here in this third and final hour that starts with some more college football and CFP conversations.
I am so looking forward. It's kind of the calm before the storm, Ben, before we get to the college football playoffs. But, you know, we were just talking Army-Navy should be one of the more exciting games. We also have some early bowl games that are going to be very interesting. And bowl season, Ben, is when you find the wonky lines, shall we say, because of the transfer portal and everything else. And the books aren't necessarily right on top of it. A lot of money to be made. Very profitable bowl season this year, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So, which also starts with a game on Saturday following the 125th all-time meeting between Army and Navy. Joe, I already have six bowl bets in, trying to get the better of the line using motivation and who I expect to return and not be in the transfer portal as we get ready to go here for bowl season. 82 teams, including the college football playoff, have earned the right to play in a bowl game this year. That means 41 in total, including the college football playoff. If you have a friend in your life, a family member that tells you there are too many bowls, never talk to them again. You need positive influences in your life. All right, Joe, college football playoff time, a conversation we had in large part here yesterday on the show. I'm not sure it's really up for debate, but we wanted to hear from the people just to get that final confirmation. Who deserved the last at-large bid to the first ever 12-team college football playoff? Was it SMU or Alabama? What do the people have to say? We'll find out and fade the public. Listen, I think the public got this perfectly. Hit the nail right on the head. At Sports Grid on Twitter, who deserved the final spot in the college football playoff field? Alabama or SMU? Nearly 80% of the public vote, Joe, saying SMU. That felt to be the consensus entering Selection Sunday, and then Action Network's Brett McMurphy, scooping his former employer at ESPN, told us that sources had told him the Stangs would play in the CFP. All the drama in the world you could want, in the opening 25 minutes of the selection show. But when the field was revealed and the bracket unveiled, they made the correct decision, in my estimation, and the public agrees. SMU deserving of that final at-large berth in the 11 seed and a trip to Happy Valley to start the opening round of the college football playoff. Joe Ranieri, do you agree?
I agree with the public. In fact, Ben, we weren't sure what we were going to get with 12 teams, right? We kind of had a feeling like, oh, this is great. We're going to be arguing about who the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, seed should be in this and so on and so forth. But the reality is, Ben, can I tell you, this has been, outside of maybe Boise getting a 3 seed here, there's not a lot of drama here. There's not a lot of teams that we would say, oh, did they get hosed? Oh, I can't. No. The right 12 teams are playing for a national championship, Ben. Yeah. I didn't think that was possible, but that's exactly what we have. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. SMU deserves to be here. Alabama can't lose to Oklahoma late and then expect that they're going to back into a national championship opportunity.
Absolutely so, Joe. And again, I think what you expressed right there to me is the correct response to all that we are seeing right now in the field of 12 in the college football playoff. If you don't like expansion, okay, that's on you. I would disagree. I think the regular season from the start to the very finish had those implications even into conference championship weekend. If you don't like the format, I would agree. They need to fix a couple of bugs. I'm not sure that winning a conference championship should guarantee you an opening round bye just because you were 4 of the highest ranked 5 conference title winners. An automatic bid? Sure. I would hear it. That opening round bye? I am not so sure. But in the reality, in the actuality, Joe, of our current format with what the selection committee had to work with this year, not next year, not the previous 10, this year in 2024, they made the correct decisions. The seed lines make sense. And Joe, now that the field has been determined, and I think the bad faith arguments of strength of schedule from SEC or Bama backers have been completely disavowed because it wasn't non-con strength of schedule, something that football programs and the Crimson Tide control. It was conference strength of schedule and making sure you beat the bad teams in your league that was the undoing of the Tide. We can focus on the bracket. Yep. And I think there might be one more argument to be had, Joe, although I'm not sure, again, given the current format, it could have been rectified. That's the only unbeaten FBS program in the sport this year. 13-0, Big Ten title winner, number 1 seed, Oregon, potentially drawing a more difficult path to the national championship than that of the number 2 seed in Georgia, or even the team that the Ducks beat on Saturday night in Indianapolis in 6 seed Penn State. And it is a tough thing for Oregon, although I'll tell you why I still think the Ducks will play in the national title game in just a moment. Joe, it is still something, though, that we see in playoff formats, either professionally or in college sports. Sometimes in the NCAA tournament bracket, come March, you get a team on a heater. That's a 4 seed, and that is dangerous to a 1 seed in their portion of a bracket. That probably shouldn't have been on the 4 line, but is after some disappointing results throughout a season. We see it in Major League Baseball. We see it in the National Football League, in the NBA as well. A team that might have underperformed in their regular season available games that thus is seeded lower than they should be and can cause some chaos in that postseason bracket. And that is certainly Ohio State as the 8 seed. I think Tennessee is pretty aptly ranked and seeded at number 9. But that's the tough draw for Oregon, playing a team that was better than their seed line represents. But based on the actual result of games, and for the Buckeyes, losing as a 3-touchdown favorite at home in the game against Michigan, results in Ohio State perhaps being an underseeded 8 when they should have been the top at-large team like we expected for most of this season.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly some things that can and should be tweaked with this as we move along, because you can't have the only undefeated team in the country, Ben, getting the number one seed and then their path to winning a national championship. And yeah, it's great that you got the bye, but you either got to take on an SEC powerhouse or Ohio State, who you've already played and beaten. And yet you look at Texas, who did not win, and look at their path, man. They got to get tweaked.
Absolutely, Joe. And we still want to incentivize the significance of winning conference championships, but you could argue the loser is still sitting pretty. The NBA Cup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We have reached the quarterfinal round of the second annual NBA in-season competition, known in 2024 as the Emirates NBA Cup. It is quarterfinal Tuesday and Wednesday in the association. Two games tonight, a doubleheader of knockout / quarterfinal round action, and then, of course, two more games tomorrow on quarterfinal Wednesday. Joe, before we dive into the actual matchups that we will see in both nights, starting with our doubleheader on this Tuesday, the eight teams still left standing. Of course, if you remember us breaking down all of the action, it is the three group winners, group A, B, and C in either conference, and a wild card team that had the best record and or point differential to earn that wild card berth into the knockout round, the quarterfinal round of the NBA Cup. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they won their group. They are on to the quarterfinal round. They had one of the shortest prices entering the NBA Cup, and here they are as the favorites past group play, +280. The Knicks, not all that far behind after winning their group in a decisive game just a week ago against the Orlando Magic, back by 30 cents at +310. The Bucks have figured something out, using the NBA Cup perhaps to spur some positive momentum back into their season at +450. And the Houston Rockets have been great all year long. 7-1 for them. +750 for their in-state foes in the Mavs. In the Warriors, round out our list of teams, Joe, at a 10-1 price or shorter at +850. Hawks, Magic, really long numbers. 23-1 for Atlanta. Orlando, the longest of our eight teams, at +2,400. Why do you think that is the case?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, the Hawks and the Magic, of course, we were questioning the loss of Paolo Banchero over a month ago. We're going, boy, oh boy, that's the end of it for Orlando. And it didn't look good the first couple of games, Ben, that they had to play without him. But ever since then, boy, oh boy, they have been rolling teams, and they've been doing it with very physical play, owning the boards, and they are getting it done and learning how to play without Banchero, and it's working. In Atlanta, the minute they finally got healthy, Ben, a couple of weeks ago, Atlanta has been an absolute bet-on team. This team currently with Atlanta was the team we thought was going to be very dangerous before the season started. They just hadn't played it all because of the injuries. But I think what you're seeing now is a different Hawks team, much like Orlando, than they were a month and a half ago when the season started. Both teams very dangerous to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Joe, as well. You look at these odds, you see where these teams are, and we see the matchups that will dictate the rest of the bracket, trying to get to Las Vegas, trying to get to Sin City to play in the semifinal. Semifinal still on home floor. Joe Frieza, we need you here to make sure we know this. The NBA Cup semifinal in Vegas, NBA Cup championship game also in Vegas. So the winners of these will head to Las Vegas to make sure that they can contend for the NBA Cup. And again, Joe Frieza, producer extraordinaire, I do believe the only game that does not count to your regular season record is that championship game.
It's the final.
Both the quarterfinal and the semifinal both do count toward your regular season record. Joe, the Thunder, the short favorites at plus 280. OKC, not just a short favorite to win the NBA Cup, but a short favorite to win the NBA's Western Conference at plus 185, more than $4 in front of the Mavs, who have that second best price. The favorites, though, to win the Eastern Conference, well, the Knicks are sandwiched in between. But the Celtics were the favorites to win the NBA Cup before this whole in-season competition got started. And the Cavs, of course, still one of the best teams in the NBA. In fact, they hold the NBA's best record. Neither Boston nor Cleveland into the quarterfinal round. They were in the same group, East Group C. Who won that one? The Atlanta Hawks. A team that is playing much better basketball as of late. A game above 500 at 13-12. But, Joe, some of those heavy hitters from the Eastern Conference component of the NBA Cup competition, not necessarily there as the odds anticipated before group play got underway.
Yeah, and listen, we saw it last year, right? We watched it with Indiana, who was playing a whole lot of inspired basketball right around this time of year, Ben. Remember, running up and down the court, they're draining threes. They're having a great time. And could Orlando be that team this year? The Lakers were able to get it done because they were playing quality basketball early last year, and then the wheels fell off. I mean, how much effort push comes to shove? Does Dallas really care about the NBA Cup? Some of those teams that are favored, Ben, it wouldn't shock me that a big number team there on the right-hand side, whether it be the Warriors, the Hawks, the Magic, somebody is going to surprise us and be in that finals. The question is, which team can we make the money on?
Yeah, absolutely so. And then we'll start to discuss how we make that money up next when we look at our quarterfinal matchups on this Tuesday night. We'll head to Milwaukee. The Bucks played such better ball than they were earlier in the season when we were all asking a similar question. Do Giannis and Dame still have it? Is Doc Rivers once again the issue in the state of Wisconsin? And a great one out in the Western Conference that could be a Western Conference Finals preview between the Thunder and the Mavs. Remember the two prices that I said to win the Western Conference crown? Oklahoma City, the favorite, plus 185. Who's got that second best price? Our reigning Western Conference title winners, the Mavericks, at a 6-1 number, Joe.
Yeah, I think this is going to be very interesting, these first couple of games here, Ben. I think we're going to learn a little something about this Milwaukee team. And I definitely think we're going to learn a little something about what's in the tank here for Dallas and how bad do they want this after losing a year ago to the Celtics.
We shall see. A trophy is at stake. Perhaps not tonight, but for the 8 teams still remaining in the NBA Cup, just 2 more wins and you're playing for that trophy. More around the NBA Cup. Our doubleheader next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you set for quarterfinal action and our 2 games on this Tuesday in the NBA Cup, the round of 8, the knockout round, the quarterfinal round of the second ever NBA in-season competition. It starts with a matchup in the Eastern Conference. The Milwaukee Bucks, 6.5-point home favorite inside the Pfizer Forum now against the Orlando Magic. The Magic played in a game to win their group against the Knicks a week ago in the Garden. They did not win it. However, Joe, they did have a strong enough point differential to earn that wild card bid into this stage, the Eastern Conference component of the quarterfinal round. The Milwaukee Bucks overall this season, you look at their overall record, it's not sensational. It's 12-11, but they've won 8 of their last 10 after a dismal and disappointing start to this season to use the NBA Cup as a springboard, and they're a 6.5-point favorite to advance to the semifinal round. Yep. Injuries, Joe, a huge component of this game for Orlando. What do you like tonight in Milwaukee?
I don't like Orlando. I mean, it's one thing to lose Boncaro, and then Franz Wagner steps up and averages 27, 28 points a game, and all of a sudden Orlando is winning and playing great basketball. Now, a couple nights ago, Franz Wagner gets hurt. So now I got no Boncaro. I got no Wagner. I've got a Magic team that offensively is going to be very, very challenged, and I just don't see them being able to score enough against a now healthy Milwaukee Bucks team who just got back Middleton, and they are playing the best basketball that they have played thus far this season. It feels like the Bucks are cashing a ticket and heading to Vegas.
Yeah, I would think so as well, Joe. Franz Wagner in picking up the slack for Paolo Banchero, who had been great to start off his third year in the association, was key for the Magic to build up the point differential to reach this stage. 6.5-point spread is compelling. And the number, as you saw from the initial line, at 7.5 in favor of Milwaukee, has actually worked back slightly to the Magic. But Orlando has not been a great underdog this season, as they were a year ago. The Magic just 2-6, both straight up and against the spread as that underdog team this season. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks, off to a 1-6 and 2-8 start this year, have turned their season around. They have won 10 of their last 13, have the Bucks, since that 2-8 beginning. But, okay, are they covering and blowing teams out as they have figured out their winning ways? Not necessarily, Joe. As a favorite this year, the Bucks just 6-10-1 ATS. And let us not forget, unlike group play action, where running up the score was vital because of the point differential, it's not really the case now. You're just trying to win the game, get to Las Vegas, play in the semifinals.
That's it. It's just win and advance. But again, we saw Milwaukee last year lose in epic fashion, I believe. What was it? To Indiana, that ended up advancing there. I think they've been there. They've done this. And I think they want to keep the momentum going, especially now that they got Middleton in there. The matchup advantages are there. This feels like a Giannis point prop over to me, too. I think he'll have his way against Orlando tonight.
If you see the name Wagner in the lineup tonight for Orlando, it's Franz, it's his brother Mo. So just know that and don't think we led you astray. Highest points props of the night, of course. Giannis 30.5, Dame 24 and a hook. For Orlando, it is Jalen Suggs, who now has to pick up the production even more. 20.5, 215. Compelling total. Feels a little bit light. We shall see. Joe, only a minute left in this segment, so if you want to continue more NBA Cup conversations on the other side, that feels fair as well. We have a game tonight in Oklahoma City. Thunder, 4.5-point favorite against the Dallas Mavericks. 230.5 is that over-under. Joe, you were saying that you have heard a couple of people in the Mavs locker room might be a little bit under the weather, dealing with a bug. What do you know? How does it affect your handicap?
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of questions, a lot of questionable people here. There's a rumor going around that some guys are sick in that locker room and have not practiced. But, hey, listen, they've won 11 of their last 12. They've won 7 straight. This is the hottest team in the NBA, but they got to have their full complement going up against OKC.
There is no doubt about that, Joe. The Dallas is the hottest team in the NBA entering the NBA Cup quarterfinals. As you said, winners of 7 straight, 11 of their last 12. They have covered in 10 of 12 in this recent form as well. We'll continue the NBA Cup next before we go to college.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A little bit more on this NBA Cup quarterfinal Tuesday before we turn our attention to college basketball. John Rothstein will be on the show in just a little bit as well. Joe, just to tidy up the point on the Mavs and the Thunder, 4.5-point spread in favor of OKC. 230.5 is that total. We'll see the availability based on whatever bug is going around with the Mavericks in that locker room. Right now, nobody has been listed out in full for tonight's game. OKC has been one of the best cover teams in the NBA the last year plus. They have been a favorite in their last 24 games since the season opener and winning outright as a short underdog against the Nuggets. They are 13-9 against the spread as the favorites. You mentioned the Mavericks, who have won 7 straight. 11 of their last 12. They have covered in 10 of those 12 games in this recent good form span. And as an underdog this year, Joe, both 5-3 straight up and 5-2-1 against the spread, meaning when Dallas covers as a dog, they often win outright, which is what they are trying to do here in the quarterfinals to advance to the semis in Sin City.
Yeah, and OKC has not been a great home favorite, just 6-5 there, Ben. So this is, yeah, listen, they've done a great job of blowing out the bad teams, OKC, and winning by double digits. This is a different animal. And yes, this is going to be personal for OKC since it was Dallas that, you know, bounced them last year on their way to the finals. But this is a different test. Hartenstein now back and available here for OKC, but still no Chet Holmgren. They've had to change things up here a little bit. It's still a matchup nightmare to me for OKC. Dallas has only lost one game by 5 or more points since November 4th, man. I don't think with the playoff atmosphere that we're going to have here, anything is going to change. They're going to throw everything at Doncic, who's 100% healthy, unlike what he was in the playoffs a year ago there in the Western Conference Finals. I think they're going to have their hands full here tonight, provided everyone's available. PJ Washington, Najee Marr, as long as they're there, that's enough depth on Dallas to make this a game in which I'll take as many points and sprinkle on the money line for the Mavs.
Death taxes a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander points prop around 30. It is 30.5. Luka Doncic at 28.5. Kyrie Irving at 21.5. Jalen Williams is a key for OKC, both offensively from his scoring component, 22.5, and what he might do in those defensive matchups for Mark Daigneault and Oklahoma City as well. All right. Okay, never mind. I saw here on our thing that said Midwest matchup. That's a way to annoy me for Oklahoma City.
Yes.
I really thought that that was queuing up our next graphic into college basketball to list either the Arkansas or Tennessee game, and I was about to lose my mind. It is not. So now, with a rough transition, we make it a little bit more smooth to go to the hoops handicaps in college basketball. Madison Square Garden, the Mecca, the home tonight of a doubleheader in the Jimmy V Classic between number one Tennessee and a really bad Miami team, and then a Michigan team ranked for the first time since 2022, and Coach Calipari's Arkansas Razorbacks. Let's start with the new number one. That is Tennessee, Joe, ranked atop the AP poll for the first time since 2018-19. They are undefeated. They are perfect. Miami has lost 6 consecutive games. The Volunteers are a 16.5-point favorite inside the Garden. What do you like?
Well, I mean, I lean towards the under in this one here, Ben, simply because when you look at Tennessee, we're talking about being ranked somewhere around 282nd in adjusted tempo. Miami is worse, 287 here. So it feels like what we just watched with Miami and Clemson, who is very good defensively, that it feels like this could very well on a neutral court be a bit of a rock fight. I don't see Miami speeding up. I don't see Tennessee speeding up. Teams have been destroying Miami from the outside from three. If that regresses, or if Miami can finally figure out how to stop playing hero ball and actually play some team basketball, which is very strange for Jim Larrañaga teams. It really, really is. They're going to get blown out here, but not just blown out. They're not going to have a lot of success scoring here, which is why the scenarios to me lead to under 144.5, 145, Ben, here. The pace will be slow, and maybe, just maybe, enough is enough for Miami, and they come out with some effort.
Listen, the Vols, the number one team in the AP top 25, second most efficient defense in the country, according to Kenneth Pomeroy. Tennessee has played four power conference opponents this year. They have won all four. They have covered in all four in a rout of Syracuse in Brooklyn. Yes, my alma mater, that is now a football school. A couple of weeks ago, the Orange were the only team, Joe, to score more than 62 points against Tennessee. Syracuse scored 70. But again, that was a blowout. Syracuse made it a little bit tight at a point in the second half, lost the game by 26. My bet for this game, Miami team total under 63.5, because you mentioned, the Hurricanes are struggling. They have lost six in a row against some teams that are very questionable to lose games against, and they have not been great offensively. Here's a really intriguing game inside MSG. Michigan vaulted into the top 25, not just the top 25, top 15, number 14, excuse me, Mays and Blue in year number one under Dusty May. Michigan has lost just once this year. It was against Wake Forest in a game that actually is not going to age all that well, but still a power conference loss. Arkansas has played a couple of power conference teams. They have not been all that great. Outside of a win against Miami, by the way, part of that six-game slide for the Canes. They have not covered as the underdog against either Baylor or Illinois, that being Coach Cal's Hogs in power conference competition. Just 2-7 against the spread this year for the Razorbacks. Michigan laying 3.5 inside Madison Square Garden. What's the play here for our second of our doubleheader tonight in the Jimmy V Classic?
Well, you got two teams, new coaches, total roster turnover for both. I love the makeup. I love Dusty May. I was a big fan of him here at FAU, Ben, as you know. And you could expect a lot of things from them. You can expect them to play absolute suffocating defense and really get after you. They've got the shooters. They work to get guys open. The points have been phenomenal for them. Their depth, but they also turn the ball over a ton. And that's part of the deal and the growing pains for Michigan right now. I'd like to see fewer turnovers. And if they can keep the turnovers to a minimum, I mean, they're averaging, I think, 15 a game, Ben. That'll get you killed against a team like Arkansas with Calipari. But I like their size. I like their rebounding. And I love their elite defense here of Michigan. I like them in this game in a big way.
Me as well, laying 3.5 points. If you don't know the name, start to learn it. The 7-foot Yale transfer that plays like a point guard in Danny Wolfe. His points prop tonight against Arkansas is 12.5. He has scored at least 13 in three straight, including two huge rank wins at the time for Michigan against Xavier in a non-conference tournament against Wisconsin in the Kohl Center just a week ago. Speaking of Wisconsin, it's a Big Ten bash once again tonight. The Badgers lost both of their games last week to the Mays and Blue at home in the Big Ten opener, non-conference but in-state showdown, and a top 15 tilt against Marquette. Wisconsin remains in the top 25, but a road trip to Champaign. Joe Ranieri, as always, you are the best of the best. You got a busy day, so maybe we'll let you go here. We go to John Rothstein up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on SportsGrid. A big night in college hoops. It might only be December, but it's a marquee matchup type of night around the sport of college basketball. If it's only December, if it's a Tuesday on the Early Line, that means that John Rothstein joins us here on the show on behalf of the FanDuel Sportsbook. Already suited up. The tie is knotted and tied. He's going to be in studio tonight for a huge Tuesday night of college hoops there with CBS Sports. Rothstein, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on SportsGrid.
Great to be with you, Ben.
Jimmy V Classic, John Rothstein, inside Madison Square Garden. in the greatest city in the world, that being New York City. But we start out with a champagne party. A Big Ten bash tonight in Illinois. The Illini looking for Big Ten win number one after losing in OT on Friday in Evanston against those Cats, always good as a dog. Same story for Wisconsin. Upset last week, John, inside the Kohl Center by Michigan. In fact, Wisconsin lost both of its games a week ago to the Maize and Blue, the in-state showdown against Marquette. Tonight, though, in Champaign, looking for win number one in Big Ten competition. The Illini, a 6.5-point home favorite inside the State Farm Center. John, what's the key matchup in your estimation?
Well, I think you have to look at what Illinois does defensively against John Tonjay, who did not have a great game on Saturday against Marquette, but has played like a first or second team All-American so far this season. But, Ben, when you look big picture right now, this is a litmus test type week for Illinois and Brad Underwood. Are the Illini going to be a team that just has a lot of unique long-term prospects with great upside, like Yakachonis, Ivicic, and Will Riley? Or is Illinois going to be a bona fide contender for the Big Ten regular season title and a high seed in the NCAA tournament? After tonight's tilt against Wisconsin, Tennessee will visit Champaign on Saturday. That is a gargantuan five-day stretch for the Illini.
John, when you look at the Big Ten title odds right now, we discussed it earlier in the year, until proven otherwise, that Big Ten regular season crown still runs through West Lafayette, but Michigan is the favorite at plus 340. There you see the Illini at plus 750. Wisconsin, a 20-1 number, despite being a top 20 team in college hoops. When you look at Purdue or elsewhere atop the odds board, who do you think is the best challenger to the Boilermakers at this moment?
Well, I think there's a number of different ways you can go, Ben. I think for all intents and purposes, obviously, the balance of the Big Ten is going to be a major, major question when you look at this conference. I don't see a team that's really in position to push out among the rest. I think a couple of days ago, you'd have to say Dana Altman's Oregon Ducks. But I got to tell you, the performance that UCLA had on Sunday in Eugene was really impressive. I'm not saying, obviously, that UCLA was flawless down the stretch, because it wasn't. UCLA for 37 minutes was clearly the better team than Oregon. And in the last 2 or 3 minutes, there was a lot of miscues that Mick Cronin's team will need to rectify. But UCLA is markedly better than the team the first week of the season that went to Las Vegas and lost to New Mexico. I see the Bruins resurgent. I see unparalleled depth in the Big Ten. And I see a team that looks to be a force in that league. UCLA is a unit right now that doesn't have a Jaime Jaquez, that doesn't have a Johnny Juzang, but the whole looks greater than the sum of its parts in Westwood.
Third best price for the Bruins to win the Big Ten championship this year at plus 650. Huge road win in Eugene over the weekend. Oregon still ranked 12th in the country. But, John, the favorites to win the Big Ten title right now in year number one with some Dusty May magic in Ann Arbor. That's the Michigan Wolverines. Dusty May has come in right away and made Michigan an 8-1 basketball team with a couple of huge Big Ten victories to start off their conference slate. What has Dusty May done so well for the Maize and Blue this early on?
Great offensive balance, four guys averaging in the neighborhood of 12 points a game, Trey Donaldson, Roddy Gale, Vlad Golden, and Danny Wolf. And the Wolf and Golden combination looks like potentially the best power forward center combination in all of college basketball. This is a brand new team in Ann Arbor, but one, again, that has been anchored by great point guard play. Trey Donaldson at Michigan is vastly better than the Trey Donaldson that we saw at Auburn last season. Michigan also has stacked wins over power conference competition. The Wolverines are 2-0 in the Big Ten, wins against Wisconsin and Iowa. The Wolverines beat Xavier, beat Virginia Tech, and beat TCU. That means Michigan is 5-0 against power conference competition, with the exception of the loss it took in Greensboro against a solid Wake Forest team. Dusty does not sleep in May.
No, he certainly does not. They have responded with those five consecutive victories against power conference foes. Another one on the line tonight, John, inside Madison Square Garden. Take it on John Calipari than the Arkansas Razorbacks. Michigan, 3.5-point favorite inside MSG. What's the key matchup in this game tonight to end out our doubleheader inside the Garden?
The post defense of Arkansas on that tandem we just talked about for Michigan, Golden and Wolf. You know, I was on the broadcast crew on Thanksgiving Day for the Arkansas-Illinois game in Kansas City. And the big issue that, you know, Arkansas had was defending the three-point line, especially when you look at their bigs and their inability to stay with Tomislav Ivicic of Illinois. I see potentially some of the same issues tonight for Arkansas on defense against somebody like Danny Wolf, who can play away from the basket. That's going to be a key thing to look at. Another question, too, for Arkansas is, can John Calipari get consistent play all at the same time from Boogie Flan, DJ Wagner, and John L. Davis? There's been pockets of quality play from Davis and Wagner, but all three have yet to be clicking on the same time. If that happens, combined with the Du Thiro, you're going to have a pretty capable Arkansas team in that SEC fight. But the Razorbacks are still searching for their first marquee win of the season. The best win that Arkansas has to this point is a road victory over a struggling Miami team.
Miami has lost six straight. They will take on the number one team in the country now in Tennessee to open up the action at the Garden tonight in the Jimmy V Classic. You can see that 16.5-point spread. John Rothstein, as always, we appreciate the time. Enjoy your College Hoops Tuesday. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Again, a thank you to John Rothstein for joining us here on a busy Tuesday in college basketball that just got even busier. On ESPN's First Take, the number one recruit in the country for the 2025 men's basketball class, A.J. DeBansa, just made his college determination. DeBansa, a native of Massachusetts, is going to play at BYU. Let that sink in for a moment. A.J. DeBansa, the number one overall recruit in the country, has just committed to BYU. A couple of factors for that being the reasoning. Right now, BYU is in its first year coached by Kevin Young, who was a former assistant coach in the NBA for the Phoenix Suns, among others. He's got extensive experience in the association, developing the best of the best. Kevin Young has gone back to BYU after, of course, Mark Pope went back to his alma mater to coach at Kentucky. BYU this year is 6-2. They have dropped games against Ole Miss and as recently against Providence a week ago in the Big 12 Big East showdown. But still, BYU is set up for success moving forward. Another reason why DeBansa is on his way to Provo is because an NIL package believed to be as robust and enormous as we have seen in terms of record-setting NIL deals in the history of college basketball. It's not an overly long history, about the last 5 years, but still, that is tremendous. Here's what I'm going to say. NIL has been a confounding system that has allowed things like the transfer portal to expand and kind of get off the rails, right? No guardrails, no restrictions were put on NIL by the NCAA, an absolute failure of an organization who needed to do one thing, just protect the system. Contracts, agreements, none of that was out there. Not like what you would see in regular free agency in professional sports leagues. And yet the one thing we could hope for in the NIL era is more equity around the sports of collegiate athletics. Not just the big dogs each and every year dominating because they could spend the most, they could recruit the best and do all of that, but more equitable destinations around the collegiate landscape. And if you can get the number one overall recruit in the 2025 class in A.J. DeBansa to make his way to Provo, to BYU because of an NIL deal, to me, that's a pretty cool thing. So again, he will head to Provo, Utah, as was just detailed by the number one recruit in the country. elsewhere around the country on this Tuesday night in college basketball. We've hit the Jimmy V Classic, the doubleheader of games at Madison Square Garden. Number one, Tennessee, taking on a Miami team that has lost six straight games, 16.5-point spread in favor of the Vols. The nightcap, a good one. Michigan, 3.5-point favorite, now ranked 14th in the country, taking on Arkansas. Big Ten battle in Champaign. Illinois and Wisconsin, both looking for conference victory number one in Big Ten game number two for both teams. Other notable games on this Tuesday night elsewhere around the sport. Duke, hefty home favorite in Durham against Incarnate Word. Duke has played two consecutive power conference foes in the last week. Auburn at home and Louisville, two huge victories for the Blue Devils. It's why they have vaulted back inside the top five at number four in the country. A slight break here from conference competition, 33.5-point favorite. Let me make this point on Houston. Of course, we expect the Cougs to be one of the best teams in the country this year under Kelvin Sampson. They are ranked 15th in the recent AP poll. They already have three losses this season, but all of them against power conference foes, their last two in overtime. Houston's still one of the 10 best prices to win a national championship, and yet we shared earlier in the show, the Week 6 AP Top 25 important because in the last two decades of college basketball, if you were not ranked inside the top 12 of the AP poll, then you were not going to win a national championship. Every national title winner since 04 has been inside the top 12 at Week 6. Houston is not. Just note that. Couple of really good conference games tonight in the rack. Rutgers takes on Penn State. The Scarlet Knights, a slight favorite. Home floor advantage could be crucial. The Nittany Lions off to a great start here in Big Ten play. Chris Holtman at DePaul has resurrected this program. They're a favorite against Providence. The early line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time, live right here on the Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.